Welcome to a chat between Matthew and Maggie. Maggie faced a long and lonely road of now seeing her father in a different light, as a paraplegic who needed constant care. Although her mother would be his primary caregiver, Maggie was intent on doing her share of supporting him from a distance. Maggie was committed to being a road warrior as she faced the prospect of making the 4-hour drive from her home in Central Heights to Flint to see her father. On one particular weekend, Mincy greeted Maggie when she arrived as she always did. Maggie talked with both of her parents, and on the first day, she discussed a great deal with them. The next day, after she had returned to her parents' house, she found herself alone with Matthew, longer than usual. Mincy had gone into the kitchen to prepare dinner. There they were, just the two of them, father and daughter, alone, together. Maggie and Matthew were watching TV when suddenly her father said to her, "Maggie, turn the set off and come over here. I've looked at enough TV during the week, and you're not here with me that often. So let the set rest a while, and let's just talk."
"Okay, Daddy. I'll sit right down beside you,"
Maggie responded. Then she went over and sat in a chair beside her father. Then Matthew began to speak to her. "You know, little one, I wish you could sit on my lap like you used to. You want to come over here and do that?" Not really knowing whether her father was serious or just playing around, Maggie said back to him,
"Oh, Daddy, I'm a grown woman now. If I sat on your lap, I think both of us would end up on the floor. And that's because I don't think that wheelchair is strong enough to hold the both of us."
Then Matthew responded, not being able to turn back the clock, you might say. "Okay, then. I understand that it could never really be like it used to be. Anyway, do you remember when you were small and I used to tell you and your sister Sadie stories about the lamb that Mary had? Like in the Mary Had a Little Lamb story. You remember that?"
"Yeah, Daddy, I do. I was so small at the time, but I really enjoyed the story, and I think Sadie did too. And oh, I miss Sadie so much, Daddy."
"Oh, don't start crying, little one. We all miss Sadie. But you know, her spirit is still with us. You just have to believe that. You have to believe that she's here now, right now, in spirit. And another thing, little one, I believe Sadie wouldn't want you to worry about her, because she's fine where she is."
Where she is? But she's dead, Daddy, and she's been dead for several years now."
No, little one. That's where you're mistaken. Her physical body is gone, but her spirit is still alive, with us right now, even though we can't see her spirit. Anyway, that's another subject for another time. Let me get back to the story, Mary Had a Little Lamb. I told that story to your older brothers and sisters when they were small, long before you two came along, you and Sadie. And I think they enjoyed it too. Anyway, when I told it to you and Sadie years later, if I remember right, the story was about the lamb following Mary everywhere she went. Well, the lamb followed her because it loved Mary. That's the way it is with me now. Let me tell you what I mean. As strange as it might seem, in real life, the lamb represents God, and Mary represents his child. Well, God follows us like that lamb followed Mary in the story. And the reason is because he loves us." Matthew paused for a moment, as if he was thinking about even more wisdom he could impart on his daughter. Then he said, "Yeah, God follows you and me, little one, and he's always near us. But what's more important than that is what God has put in us. That is, He has put Himself in us. And that's the Holy Spirit. You do remember that, don't you, from Sunday school?
Yes, Daddy. I remember all that.
Okay, then. So you did learn it. Am I right about that?
Of course, Daddy. But discussions about the Holy Spirit came later when we were old enough to understand it. But when we were younger, I remember doing what the teacher told us to do. Or at least most of the time we did. We weren't taught the Holy Spirit then, being so young. But I do remember a lot of biblical stories and verses, too.
Now, I'm not clear about something, little one. That phrase you just used, most of the time. What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, I have to tell you, Daddy, and I really don't know how to tell you this, but please remember, we were young children at the time. But anyway, there was this one teacher we had who we sometimes made a lot of fun of. That's what I mean by saying most of the time, Daddy. But really, most of the time, we were respectful to her, but sometimes we weren't. And there were times when we were just plain disrespectful to Miss Jones. That was her name. We just couldn't help ourselves, I guess.
Okay. You know...
Well, let me tell you this before you say anything else, Daddy. In hindsight, I don't think she was experienced enough to handle us kids at the time. We used to whisper and snicker about almost anything. I mean, she had these thick eyeglasses and she appeared as though she couldn't see half the time. And I remember one Sunday morning, Sadie got a pair of Mama's old reading glasses just for the purpose of taking them to Sunday school and picking on that lady. I used to feel so bad for Miss Jones, Daddy.
Well, I can see Sadie doing something like that, Maggie, but not you. I'm surprised at you.
Now, you shouldn't be surprised, Daddy, because I was a kid too back then, doing a lot of things I shouldn't have done. But anyway, you know how Sadie was. It's a wonder Miss Jones didn't throw me and Sadie out of the class. Well, to be frank about it, it's a wonder she didn't throw all of us out of that class, because we all picked on her a lot.
Well, little one, if Miss Jones had thrown all of you out of that class, she wouldn't have had a class to teach. Matthew responded with a smile. Then he continued to say, But you know, if I remember, at that time she just had lost her husband. That may have been the reason why she appeared as she did. But the way I remember her, she was one nice-looking mama. I mean, lady.
Oh, Daddy, get a hold of yourself. You're not supposed to talk like that.
Well, I'm telling the truth, Maggie.
Oh, Daddy.
Okay. Let me tell you this, little one. I do remember that sister of yours, Sadie. Now, she was a character, all right. And some of the language she used, well, neither me nor your mother taught her to say some of those things she said. And some of the things she did, for that matter. But you know Sadie. Sadie was always herself. And I know you remember that, little one. After a brief pause, he continued to say with a bit of emotion, And yeah, we all miss that sister of yours. She was a mess, all right. But you know what? The thing I miss most about Sadie was that she was always sincere. And what I mean by sincere is that she meant what she said and she said what she meant. Those emotions really came out of her as she got older. There was nothing phony about that girl. And I really believe that's what God really desires of all of us as His children. And that is to say, to be real, be yourself, to be what God made you to be, a genuine and real person. You know, too many people are not very real these days. But anyway, that's the reason I believe right now your sister is in that better place. Another brief pause, Matthew quickly snapped out of his sadness and said to Maggie, "But getting back to Miss Jones, regardless of how she looked in that Sunday school class, she knew a lot more than you all did at the time. And she wouldn't have done that. I mean, she wouldn't have thrown all of you out of the class because I'm sure she understood that you, as well as the others in the class, were going through a growth process. Spiritually, I mean. And that is to say, you all were just being kids and really didn't know what you were doing at the time."
"I understand, Daddy."
"Let me teach you a lesson, Maggie. You know, baby girl, we grown-ups are like that too more often than we should be. I mean, we are disrespectful to each other at times, just like you all reacted towards Miss Jones. We all do things occasionally that we shouldn't do. But you know what? God forgives us anyway, if we are truly sorry for our actions. And you know what, little one? He also knows at some point we'll come to see the light. At least most of us will. But listen, baby girl, I sure didn't know you had done all that. In Sunday school, no less. But anyway, back then was then, but we're in the now. And I'm sure you've learned a lot since then."
"I have, Daddy."
"Anyway, back to the story I was telling you about. Now, where was I? Oh yeah, I remember. We were talking about the Holy Spirit being within us. Now, let me ask you a question. Why do you think God basically put himself within us? The Holy Spirit, I mean." Maggie paused and thought about it for a moment, and then, taking too long to respond for his liking, Matthew went ahead and gave her the answer. "Let me tell you while you're thinking about your answer. And that answer is to protect us. Let me break it down to you in Bible terms. The Lamb of God, who we all know as Jesus, protects us from whatever we might face. And the reason for that, little one, is that he wants only what's best for us. I want you to always remember that, regardless of what others say or your own feelings. Remember that whatever happens to us, he, that is God, wants only the best for us. The challenge we have is to simply believe that."
"Again, I understand, Daddy."
"Okay, little one. I'm glad you do understand. But let me say this. It may be difficult for you to see me in this wheelchair right now, being a cripple. But only good can come out of it because God lives within me, as well as in your mother. And he lives in you too. And not just us. That spirit, I mean the Holy Spirit, lives in anyone who believes him. And what I'm saying is this. If a person truly loves God, then God is within them, whether they realize it or not. That's to say, God lives within them through the Holy Spirit. And I know you do love God, the God we talk about this in the Bible, don't you?"
"Of course I do, Daddy."
"I know you do, little one." Then, with tears in her eyes, she said to her father,
"Daddy, I know you're right, but it still hurts seeing you this way."
"I know, little one. Yeah, I know it hurts you seeing me like this, but, you know, it also hurts your mama and your husband, too. But believe me, you will see me out of this wheelchair one day, walking around as before. And you know why I'm saying this, Maggie?" Without giving her a chance to answer, Matthew said to his daughter by answering his own question, "Let me just tell you, little one, I say that I'll walk again because that's a desire I have. And the word says, no, let me rephrase that. It promises that you will have whatever you desire if you truly believe. That is, believe in your spirit. And I really believe that, Maggie, no matter what anyone else says or thinks about it."
"I'm trying to believe, Daddy."
"I know you are, little one. What I'm saying, Maggie, is that if you sincerely believe that you will have something, whatever it might be, then at some point, you will get it. You will get whatever you desire to have. You can depend on that, because that's what God says in His Word. And keep in mind, that Word of God is all any of us have to go on. And that Word says a lot about our future. And the good thing about it is, it's all documented in the Bible. And I've decided to believe God and not my own feelings or what others might believe or say. That's contrary to the Word. While encouraged by her father, Maggie's facial expressions showed that she did not understand or necessarily agree with some of what Matthew was saying. Sensing her confusion, after a pause, he repeated what he had just said and what he proclaimed when he first learned of his condition. He said, "So again, what I'm telling you, little one, is that I still believe that I will walk again."